Welcome to Semper Gumby in Alaska, a podcast of the Diocese of Juneau. Broadcasting today from St. Catherine of Siena Parish in Petersburg, Alaska. Today is Saturday of the third week in Ordinary Time, the 28th of January, 2012. We remember St. Thomas Aquinas, Doctor of the Church. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
On that day, as evening drew near, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with him in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. A violent squall came up, and waves were breaking over the boat so that it was already filling up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this whom even the wind and the sea obey?" The Gospel of the Lord. So today we celebrate another wonderful St. Thomas to inspire us all to greater learning and theological study. Thomas was born in 1225 to the house of the Counts of Aquino, a very rich and powerful family. He studied at the Benedictine Monastery of Monte Cassino, which is would have been very appropriate. He would have gone on to be a leader within the Benedictine community. But he didn't want to be a Benedictine. He wanted to be a Dominican. And his family thought this was so outrageous, right? Because the Benedictines were rich and powerful. They had great monasteries all over Europe, right? They were the ones that were copying the Bible, you know, making manuscripts. They had scriptoriums. They were centers of knowledge and learning. Often the monastery and the cathedral church were the center of the city. The Dominicans were poor friars who begged for their food, much in the line of St. Francis. His family thought this was so offensive that they kidnapped him and held him hostage in the south of Italy for a whole year. But Thomas Aquinas was fairly bullheaded, you would say, stubborn or resolute in his determination, and he kept wanting to be a Dominican. So eventually they acquiesced. He joined the Order of Preachers and completed his studies in Paris and Cologne. While in Paris, Thomas must have been just learning, because he didn't say anything. They called him the dumb ox. And his teacher, Albert the Great, saw his great brilliance, and by the time he finished his, what we would call a PhD, his doctorate in Cologne, he was recognized as an intellectual genius. Albert the Great introduced him to the writings of Aristotle, the great Greek philosopher, who had been lost to the Western Europe for 1,000 years. Right? That's a long time to be without Aristotle. But everyone was worried because Aristotle was coming via Islam, the Muslims. It was coming via, you know, Spain is occupied by the Moors at this point, and Aristotle is coming to Europe. And everyone was like, well, this has got to be evil because it's from the Muslims. There was just as much xenophobia then as there is now. And Thomas has this famous quote where he says, all truth, no matter who speaks it, is from the Holy Spirit. Let that sink in a little bit. All truth, no matter who speaks it, is from the Holy Spirit. And if there appears to be a conflict between Aristotle and Christianity, we need to delve deeper and study and learn and question. And he did. And in his own lifetime, which was just 49 years, he was able to correct this fear of Aristotle and allowed Aristotle's philosophy, which is a powerful tool, it's like having a supercomputer for your philosophy, to influence Christian thought and theology, greatly advancing where we thought we were to where we are now. Now, Thomas Aquinas is also famous as a great and learned professor. He would live for theological debates. And just, he would have no problem walking in to the people who so disagreed with him. And first, pointing out the truth that they do hold and recognizing them, and with great respect, also telling them where they were in error. He's famous for posing a question and then answering it from the error's side and from the truth. He does this in his great work called the Summa Theologica. And he wrote this, it was going to be this ginormous volume work. It turned out to be 4 or 5 volumes, depending on your edition. And he was 5 years into it. He went to celebrate Mass and had a vision when he held up the host, had a vision of the heavenly Eucharist, the heavenly Mass, if you will. And he stopped writing. And when asked, he said, what has been revealed to me and what I saw celebrating at Mass is far more than anything I've written. In fact, what I've written seems like so much straw, refuse, nothing. He died 3 months later at the age of 49. What can we learn from Thomas? That there's no conflict between philosophy and religion. There's no conflict between science and faith. That when we seek the truth, we always find God. For God is truth. And there can't be two truths that are mutually exclusive. Thomas was great at integrating all of these truths and allowing them to live and breathe and move, right, and enliven the church. The study of St. Thomas Aquinas' writings, even to this day, I love that opening prayer, that we might figure out how in the world to understand him, right? Because he's a genius, and he makes jumps of intellect that are, well, they're big steps. I need a ladder, in some cases, to climb from here to there. That same question on how to speak truth to power comes to our prophet Nathan today, right? How do you tell David he sinned by taking Bathsheba for his wife and killing Uriah? Well, you tell him a parable, like Jesus did so many times, right? There's this poor man who only has one little ewe lamb, and the rich man came and took him. And David is just furious. And then Nathan, right, with backing out of the room, says, you're that man. And David is converted, sees his sin, and repents. But his repentance and prayer isn't enough, right? Sin has consequences. And big sin has big consequences. In fact, even David's own son, Absalom, will be rallying the troops around him as David ages and trying to kill him. David had chosen his son of Bathsheba, the second son, Solomon, to be his heir. And Absalom, his first son, was not pleased and took matters into his own hands, gathered an army around him, and tries to kill David. So Nathan's prophecy comes true. I don't think we know who Jesus is. If we really did, we would live without fear. The apostles are in the back of the boat, and they're terrified, right? The water's going to kill them. And Jesus is sleeping on a cushion. And they're like, Lord, don't you care about us? We're all going to die. And his answer is, where's your faith? Do you not trust that I can do this? And they didn't. No one had control over the elements, especially a storm at sea. And he says, be quiet. Be still. And great calm comes over the sea and over the apostles, who are like, who is this? Do we allow Jesus to be that big in our life? That we have so much trust that everything that happens to us is either by God's divine will or happens through his permission? For nothing happens without God's divine will or permission. St. Thomas Aquinas taught us this, but boy, is it a hard lesson, especially if we like being in control. For Thomas Aquinas, there aren't any accidents. God's involved in everything. Let's renew our faith in Jesus, who can do all things. Thank you for listening to Semper Gumby in Alaska. This is Father Thomas Weiss, a priest of the Diocese of Juneau. If you'd like to send me any feedback, you can reach me through my email at frthomasweiss@gmail.com. Again, that's frthomasweiss@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and if there's any way I can make these podcasts more helpful, please let me know. May God bless you and have a great day.